This is episode 247. Sound, right? This stuff is everywhere.
Welcome once again to the Tone Control, the steel of podcasts.
Ever since the dawn of the Tone Control, you couldn't beat steel.
Okay. Bro,
I was doing a little dance for the pre-show crowd.
Yeah, I saw that, but nobody else did.
It was good. That was some high quality, whatever it was. Hey. How's it going?
My eyes are reacting to some allergen today. So
that's not good.
If at some point tonight you just look up. If at some point you look up and you just see that I have clawed my eyes out and it looks like the end of Event Horizon up in here, then you'll know that it's because of probably some plant.
Okay. Blame the plants.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Let's see. Last time when we last spoke, I was about to start teaching this course, right? And I was probably
right.
Losing my mind. I can't remember how close.
Yeah.
Did we record the day before I taught it? Or no?
Yes.
No, it was a week before. No,
it was a week before because we did Wednesday last time. So it was just short of a week before. How did it go, Professor Justin?
The first one, so I was assured by people who should know that the first class, you're not going to get to any material. It's going to be like going over the syllabus, answering questions about the course, right? So I do the thing. I play some fun, like, getting to know you name game things, and we talk. We do the nonsense.
Icebreakers, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't go over what's going to happen in the course, what it's made of, and there are zero questions.
Yeah.
So I find myself with, like, 35, almost 40 minutes, and I'm like, well, I guess I got to go talk about some material now. Discovered that there aren't any dry erase markers in that classroom, and I did not bring any. I didn't bring my little dongle thing, so I can't plug my computer into the projector. And I was just totally unprepared. So I just, like, talked about stuff for a while, and, like, I was, like, sound
there, like,
waves and describing things with my hands, and I felt like a complete idiot.
Like, hey, sound, am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
Shit's everywhere.
It's you're hearing it right now. And then on Thursday was the second class. And so then on a Thursday morning, I'm like panic prepping because I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then on Thursday, I actually dig into it. I've got all my stuff. I'm hooked up. I'm showing diagrams. I'm playing this cool video where they use Schlieren and imaging to visualize.
I don't even know what that is.
Sound waves. Well, it's just fucking, let me tell you, Derek. Actually, please. Here's going to be my thing of the week because I couldn't think of anything. Fucking Schlieren. I don't know if I'm saying this right. But anyway, it's this technique where you shine like you have like a pinpoint focal point and you shine a light across two concave mirrors.
Oh my God.
So that,
is this?
The light spreads out from the zero focal point. The concave mirror straightens out the light rays. So they're parallel. And then the second concave mirror collapses them back to the focal point, and that's the camera. Right. So now, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So
this
in fact,
is amazing.
I could do a little open in browser on this image here and show this.
That's the end of a gun.
Right, exactly. So anything that you put in between that is going to look like silhouette, right? And because the light rays are basically, it's just like pinpoint light that's passing through. However, any changes in the air density cause the light ray to bend, and then it won't line up with the other mirror,
right?
With the second mirror, therefore it's dark. Any darkness you see is a change in air density. So that is sound. I mean, not all changes in air density are sound. Like, you could do this to visualize heat from something.
So I've seen this also. This is what they use to visualize the pressure wave in front of supersonic objects.
Right.
I've been watching a lot of Smarter
In like a wind tunnel. You know, obviously you couldn't line this up on an actual supersonic object, but if you're running wind over it supersonically, it's the same thing. So
I've been watching a lot of Smarter Every Day, which is a fabulous YouTube channel I'm sure you're familiar with. And he's been doing this like baseball cannon that I'm catching up on, where he's shooting a baseball out of an air cannon at supersonic speeds. And they have they caught it on supersonic on this Schlieren thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's super cool. So I played a video to help visualize it. It was cool.
Awesome.
And so the long and short of Thursday is the second class period. I get through about half of what I've prepared. And then I notice everybody starts to like pack up their notebooks and stuff. And I'm like, oh shit. So we're still missing the calibration. I'm going to go in for class period 3 tomorrow, and hopefully I'm going to nail it. But we're getting into – hopefully I'm going to be getting into transducers by then, so we'll be talking mic patterns and everything else. So.
Wow, cool. Very, very awesome. Well, congrats. I'm glad it's off, and you've like, you know, your
course
correcting.
People seem to pay attention to me too. Good. So it's, hopefully it's well. I don't see a lot of just like total disinterest or dumbfounded looks, and – I, you know, they do ask questions, so I haven't made myself unapproachable.
Right on. That's exciting.
Yeah.
What's going on here? I went to a concert.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, which is my later pick of the week, is the venue we went to. But I went to a concert. I went to see Jimmy Eat World and Manchester Orchestra on tour together.
Oh, it's called sweet.
They called it the Amplified Echoes Tour, and it was the sixth time I've seen Jimmy Eat World, and I think the third time I've seen Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah.
And it was the best of both bands, for sure.
Oh, that's so great to hear.
For sure. And you could tell they were really enjoying themselves. It seemed like they had really, we were at the end of the tour run, so they had really totally dialed it in, and they were not checked out. Like, I've been following it on social media, and they're like, in the home stretch of this tour, blah, 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 really on the final leg here, looking forward to seeing our families. But they were still giving it everything.
Awesome.
When we saw them in Boston. So, just killer. Kind of just in support of, like, the current albums they have. It wasn't like a, you know, the such and such album tour. It was just like, hey, let's go on tour together. What if we went on tour together?
What if we just fucking did it, man?
Yeah. And it's the second time I've seen Jimmy Eat World do that, where they're just like, what if we just went on tour? Like, fuck it, right? Jimmy Eat World is using all, they're using all fractals, I believe, now. So there's not a single amp on stage.
Oh, they don't even pretend.
They don't even pretend. They had these really cool, kind of like, it was a light device on stage that was inside, you know, like the artwork for Surviving, how it's got all the lines like within each letter. So they took that concept, but then mixed it kind of like with a topographical map design, where like the higher,
depth.
Yeah. So like the, you know, steeper increases over distance and stuff are closer together in line and stuff. So, so it was kind of like that, but they had these, what looked like books, right? They were kind of like, they looked like hardcover books on their ends and like open a little bit, like a bifold a little bit. And inside it, you couldn't really see quite all the way in it, but inside this thing was a light bar that was like casting cool light out across the stage from left to right. And there was a bunch of these of all different sizes. Some were like probably, I don't know, maybe 15 feet tall. Some were 4 feet tall. And there were all these like different ratios and proportions of rectangle. And they were just, it was such a cool stage setup. Like, there was nothing up there except the band and their instruments and these light device things and the backdrop. And it was just this, like, really hip look. Like, I was really into it. And Manchester Orchestra has a buttload of gear, and it was all on stage. Who's like the total opposite?
The absolute opposite. They have so many band members too. They have like, do they still play with two drums and two drum sets?
They do. Yeah, they are doing that again. They took a break from that, and it's like, oh man, he's doing like full percussion and then like whatever, just additional multi instrumentalist guy. But the two drum kit thing is killer. It's so badass. Their bass player, I'm blanking on his name, had the 810 horizontally. And
look at this guy.
Yeah.
Horizontally.
And
just
horizontal. And
it's like more floor contact, right? It's like he's just imparting the lows into the room.
Just bringing the lows, right? Yeah. So a bummer of the whole evening. The only thing that was a drag about it was I lost my earplugs in between my car and my seat.
And these are pretty gnarly earplugs.
I mean, they're not like Walmart foam earplugs, but I think they were 50 bucks or something.
Like, the phrase I chose suggested that they weren't Walmart foam earplugs. Yes, thank you.
But they're not custom molded either. You know, I didn't go to a doctor for them, but they were like 40 or 50 bucks. And that was like, oh,
okay.
And you know, and I was just kind of maybe thinking about getting a new pair because they kind of worn out a little bit, but now I have to, and I'm not into that.
Right.
So, but, you know, RIP earplugs 2018 to 2023, I guess.
That's a pretty good run. It's a pretty good run. I don't know if I've had any that
And you know what?
Long.
They started their life and ended their life in Boston. I got them the day we went to see Foo Fighters at Fenway, and then I lost them the day we went to see Jimmy Eat World, also at Fenway.
You know what it is? There's an earplug demon at Fenway Park, and they're like, oh, here comes this guy again. Mm-hmm. Gobble, gobble.
So they're the brand Erasers, which I highly recommend if anyone's in the
Erasers
in the earplug market. So anyway,
I think I used to have some of those. I think since then I've settled on the Edimotic, like they were like 12 or 14 bucks. It's like,
I was thinking about going that direction
again.
They're
good enough kind of thing. It's not, I'm sure they're not as,
I like
sure
the Erasers
sounding.
The
Erasers, now those have like a cartridge in them, right? Like that's even changeable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I definitely
It's not changeable.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Not changeable. No, but you could buy them at different cartridge levels basically.
Oh, okay.
And there is a right and a left. So it's like, it's curved and it kind of fits in your ear the right way.
Oh, I don't think I had any, mine were interchangeable. Yeah. So I must've been not quite that level.
They were really nice. And they were really comfortable and really discreet. Not that I care about how I look wearing earplugs, but they were very small.
And
you wouldn't really notice them, but maybe I'll get another one. I don't know. It's I've thought about getting the custom molded thing as well, just for plugs, but it's still just a whole operation.
Yeah, but what if you have to go to Fenway Park again, you know?
Right. I'll have to sacrifice them. But I will say, not having my earplugs, it was the first time I've been to a proper concert, loud environment like that without ear protection in like a really long time, 10 years or more, 15 years maybe. I don't even know. Mm. And I was like, it'll be fine. You know, I'm always really good about it. One night's not going to like ruin me. And, you know, it was honestly mine and Beth's first night out like that in a really long time. So it really helped me like immerse myself in the blowing off steam nature of this very loud concert.
Like, fuck it!
Yeah, very much. Like, just wreck me with this sound.
It was like Derek, like the blowing wind.
Yeah. It was so good.
Good.
Go see your favorite bands, guys. It's a fun it's a fun thing. Yeah. Did you know?
Yeah, and pick good favorite bands so that they choose to just go on tour because fuck it.
Just fuck it. Let's go on tour. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Anyway.
That's my advice to you. Pick a good favorite band.
Do you remember that
Spring
t-shirt?
The hard-hitting stuff today.
I remember these t-shirts of like, you remember the days of like just funny words on shirts, right? Okay. Or funny phrases printed on a shirt. One all-time fave for me, your favorite band sucks.
Oh, man. It's devastating. You're devastated right now.
I just thought that was so funny to have on a shirt. Your favorite band? What's your favorite band? I suck.
Oh my God.
I saw also some other shirt that was, I think it ended up being a fundraiser tee for some event, but it just said in gigantic letters, "Some crappy band." And I wanted that shirt so badly. It was a great design, just like the way they had it all laid out and stuff. Yeah, I was like, some crappy band. Oh, that's like the 30 Rock music band shirt, you know?
Yeah. Music band.
What's up, fellow youths?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
It's the AC/DC font. Music band.
Right.
Anyway, let's do this podcast.
Okay. What's up? It's going to happen to you. It's going to be podcasting. Whoop, we're falling down. It's all falling apart. I'm going to start at the top. What is this?
Neat.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What was that?
That was the Bogner Oxford.
Oh, cool. Those are the ones with the Neve parts.
Yeah, they've got iron in them. Magnetics, Neve magnetics. You know, Derek, so there's this thing happening.
Tell me.
To coincide with the Tone Control's 10-year anniversary as some crappy podcast. And in honor of crappily podcasting for 10 years, we are doing a giveaway. And the giveaway is going to be a pretty fucking big deal.
It's pretty not crappy.
It's pretty not crappy. It is actually pretty distinct from how crappy the podcast has been for 10 years. And this could be a real turning point. This could be the moment we're really going to turn it around.
You know how, like, when you start a podcast, they recommend you record one or two and then trash them. And then you've got your pace. You've got, how it's going to feel.
You've done it for a second. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all we're doing.
It's just to throw away these 10 years. Then we're going to
247 episodes.
Doors off this shit with a killer giveaway. And we're going to, and this is a little bit, I mean, it's a little bit of that, like you're saying. It's a little bit of like, you can't be what you can't see. Like, we are going to just manually change our fucking attitudes. We're going to do a killer giveaway. And then we're going to just ride that wave and suddenly take ourselves seriously.
And right into success, right into glory.
What I can only imagine is success. Exactly. And so what here on screen is a picture of, this is all you have to do. You got to click the link in your show notes that says newsletter. You got to be on this newsletter. If you're not in this newsletter, you are blowing it in such a major,
Many ways.
How many spams have the newsletter recipients gotten so far, Derek? How many spams?
Three? I don't know.
Three like, spams?
Three? I mean, zero spams, three newsletters. Let's say that.
Oh, right. We're supposed to take ourselves seriously now. That's right. Yeah. Three highbrow newsletters over the course of like two months.
Since like May or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not like you. Oh, my God. The level of commitment. Okay. The level of commitment that's required to be entered into this giveaway is so low. I'm having trouble.
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey, write your name down here.
Yep.
Thanks. That's it.
That's it. And what do they win, Derek?
They win this Swift Blue Yamaha RevStar RSE20.
Bigger picture for scale. Derek's hand for scale. No, it's actually the regular size of a regular guitar.
It's back there behind my mic.
Yep.
They win that. They win two really nice, really high quality 15-foot cables from Rattlesnake Cables, along with some nice canvas bags from them.
Yep.
Sticker pack, pedal label pack, and a notepad. And they win, I'm going to throw in a pack of String Joy strings. 10 to 46.
Just whatever we have lying around.
I think what I figured out is
that. Did you pick them that's good for the guitar?
No, I picked them. I made an order the other day. So this is sort of a sidebar. So these regular String Joy signatures, they call them 10 to 46, classic light. Orbiters, which are the coated strings that I've been trying out from them.
Yep.
balanced light, these are 10 to 48, just sort of an interesting observation.
Okay.
Okay. So things get a little bit different once we get down into the low E. That's kind of it. Otherwise, every other gauge is the same. But
I think that's a good move. That's a good move.
It makes drop D just like a little nicer.
I like so the anyway, 48. Yeah.
We're going to be giving away these 10 to 46s.
Okay. And then all you got to do
is... These are great strings.
Put them on the guitar. Yep.
And we're giving away... I heard from Alex today. Yep. We're going to be giving away a brand new... Well, if not, I'm going to say it anyway. It's my podcast. It's my giveaway. We're giving away a brand new germanium clipper, the Kingpin, which we talked about a few episodes ago.
Yes.
We are giving away a flashlight. And Alex said he was including some swag. And I don't know what that means because it hasn't arrived at my house yet, but it'll be here soon. Probably tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, like what swag do they have? They probably have...
Like stickers and stuff.
Yeah, they got their stickers and maybe some like picks. That, some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
something like that. And then I am also going to be including my whiteout fuzz from Handy FX, which is a fuzz face style fuzz.
Unbelievable.
So much gear.
Unbelievable.
So much gear.
There's overdrives, there's fuzzes, there's guitars, there's strings, there's cables, there's stickers have been mentioned several times.
It's everywhere. You're going to get, whoever wins this is going to get just like a fucking load of gear. we're basically giving away a rig aside from an amp.
This is, it's embarrassing.
Honestly, like.
It is embarrassing. If you're not on this mailing list, you should be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? So,
Eric's just throwing a helix. Anyone got $1,600 laying around?
Throwing a helix and you get some signups. There's your problem.
Yeah. Now we're talking. So yeah, man, that's the giveaway.
So why are we being so heavy-handed about this right now? It's because the dates are looming. We are going to pick a winner on the 20th of September.
Say again, Justin.
It's the 20th of September, Derek. I believe that's a Wednesday.
Yes. So we're going to draw a winner on September 20th. And Wednesday is not really a tone control day, and you might be wondering, why are we doing that? But it's because that way we can contact our winner and say like, hey man, hey person, guess what? You did it.
You're
you signed up for this email address, for this email list. So good. You won. Right. And then if for whatever reason that person doesn't accept or doesn't respond to us with their mailing address or whatever it is, we have time to draw another winner.
It's possible.
It is technically possible. Yeah. So a winner will be drawn on the 20th. We will contact you privately so we can work it all out. And then we'll discuss next steps from there. Winner will be discussed.
Yeah, we're not going to like if somebody feels strongly that they don't want to be public, that they're the winner, that's totally fine. We're not going to pressure anybody. If you are willing to, then we'd love to do something with you.
Share your name or something. Yeah,
exactly. We're not going to
give everyone your mailing address.
You won't be doxxed. You won't be doxxed by this. And, you know, fine print, we didn't limit this to any particular country, but just understand that the Tone Control doesn't have unlimited funds. And so if it comes to like shipping something internationally, we'll probably have to work something out. So that's another thing where it comes down to like, we'll let you know if it's international, then we'll kind of figure out what that means. And, you know, we might need you to help. I kind of think we probably will need you to help with shipping in those cases, in which case, you know, you could perfectly welcome to decline or something like that. But we'll try to meet you partway kind of thing.
Correct. So
realities, you know, so that's it. Yeah.
We're a small operation over here at the Tone Control, but we like to do big things for our community.
Including we're about to become really big. Stuff. So you're going to be, you're going to.
You get on the ground floor.
You want to be on that train, baby.
dude. I'm stoked for this. Like, this guitar has been hanging up in my office here, and I'm like I said before, I want to play it. It's really comfortable to play. It sounds really good. It's just an all-around awesome guitar, and I kind of don't want to play it too much because I don't want to become that attached to it.
Fall in love. I'm gonna name that lobster.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a very good one. So...
So
September 20th, everybody.
Yes, Eric. The The random drawing is obviously a lie, and when Derek ships it to me, we'll all know. We'll all know that this just is bullshit.
Spoiler alert. Justin and I are on the mailing list.
I'm the winner. I've entered the mailing list 17 times.
Yeah, so...
But you're not allowed to do that, because only strictly following the rules will...
yes, correct. If you're curious how we're going to draw a winner, we're just going to export our list and number everybody one through whatever we have, and then tell the robots to pick us a number, and we'll go with that.
I was thinking we should do it with D&D dice, but that's... I guess it depends what number of people we had, but we could... Whatever. Yeah. It's probably silly. That would be sort of fun for me, but anyway.
It'd be fun for me too, but then we have to make content around it.
Right.
And I think we can just say, like, this person won.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. RNG, baby. So that's the story. So anyway, let's do some, you know, content, quote unquote content now. Yeah. And we're gonna move on. We're gonna talk about something in that's guitar related, and I am going to claw my eyes out while this music plays.
I can't help but notice you still have your eyes.
Yeah, I did. I managed to contain myself. The Wampler Dual Fusion. Is that the one that you claimed to hate but made an awesome song for anyway?
I don't like that demo, and I don't like that pedal.
You don't like demo either.
It's all right. It's okay. I mean, I guess I have a hard time separating the art from the artist on that one, which is me.
you're really upset with that behavior that Derek became known for, and you just can't really get
stupid,
behind it.
Stupid blues riffing dad jams. Yeah. No thanks.
I like a, you know what? Here's the thing. Okay, so here's how I'm gonna approach this. So last night we finally watched the new Top Gun movie.
Oh, I've heard that's really good.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It is good. It's also pretty much just as corny as the original 80s one, which was unbelievably corny, but like it knows what it is, you know? And like that was what cool was in the 80s, and they didn't try to like make it a gritty reboot or anything, you know? Like the opening's the same, it's just new planes, and it's the characters are basically, you know, the they shuffled the deck, but they're all there. You know what I mean? And they did the thing, and it's the action is ridiculous, and it's like it's exciting.
I mean,
you know,
I'm
it's corny
all for...
in the same good way, and it's like to have that self-reference, you know, and just be like, yes, this is what we're doing.
Of just like on purpose. This is an entertainment factory, right?
Yeah.
It is just a.
Yeah,
I'm all for a gratuitous action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the John Wick series?
Only clips on YouTube about how nice a guy Keanu Reeves is.
Yeah, true. Also, John Wick, like, I don't know. It is intense and gratuitous and wildly violent, but also fucking awesome at the same time. Partly because he does all his own stunts, which is amazing. And so does Tom Cruise and the Mission Impossible stuff. You know? But I've also only seen the first John Wick. I need to fix that really soon. But it is like, man, if you want just like a shoot 'em up, awesome action fight sequence movie, it is the peak.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's nothing better.
I should too. I don't think Marielle isn't remotely interested, but you know, so that's one of those things. I got to remember these. This is one of the things you keep in mind when you got some night and it's like, oh man, wife's not home. What am I gonna do?
I think I watched it on a plane or something.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
next up, Derek did something. You guys, Derek has done something.
So, you ever like look at your Instagram feed or something and then there's something like, okay, this is what happens to me is I follow a lot of guitar stores and a lot of like guitar accounts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of guitars on my Instagram feed every day. And a lot of them are like, wow, what a beautiful piece of craftsmanship. What an amazing top on that guitar, whatever it is. It's very like, a lot of them are over the top. A lot of them are, just amazing builds, right? And
sure,
or vintage gear.
Picture-worthy examples, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wow, I love guitars, so great, end of story. Yeah. Every now and then, a guitar shows up in my feed that I actually think like, uh-oh, maybe I should try to get one, right?
Too juicy.
And, yeah, and then I look into my basement full of gear and I think like, okay, well, how much could I get for all this and how much is that guitar going for and what do I need to sell to make it happen? Do I want to do that? I do all that kind of quick mental like gymnastics yeah. and math and stuff like that. And so that happened recently. People who follow me on Instagram will probably remember that I was like, hey, my birthday's coming up. Well, guess what? I bought that guitar. I sold four guitars and five pedals the other day.
Oh my God.
I sold a lot of gear because this coincided with me also feeling really guilty about how much gear I had and that it was not getting played and just sort of sitting around. I was like explaining to myself like, oh, I'll save this for, this will be a really great first guitar for Jack or something, right? Mm-hmm. Or, I've been meaning to work on it. I just need to do this, this, and that, and then it'll be an awesome guitar again. And,
sure,
you know, you kind of trick
but
yourself into
thinking.
But the trouble
is you have three or four other awesome guitars that don't need that done to it.
Bingo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And the finances of it all, like, well, yeah, I could do it, but it's going to cost me kind of more than the guitar's worth. And then if I do sell it at a later date, you never get your money back for mods that you do to guitars.
Right.
You know, so you put $500 pickups in it. You're not going to add $500 to the sticker value of that guitar. It's just not how it works on the used market. So anyway, in my feed comes this PRS CE24. This one. Which is in this insane color. So I don't know if this is really going to come across in Discord too well or on YouTube too well.
I can see it.
But this is called, what do they call it? Aquamarine Fireburst or something like that.
Yeah, they don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is. So this is a USA-made PRS. This is my first USA-made PRS. I sold one of my other PRSs to get it. It's a satin finish, mahogany body, no maple top situation
here.
No
fill, yeah.
No grain fill. And it's this insanely, like, kind of, not iridescent, kind of like slightly metallic blue.
Yeah, it's like blue, but with wisps of green on the shine.
Yeah, a little pearly. And the way the carve is, like that top route ends up looking kind of dark a lot of the time, which is very cool. And it's a bolt-on. This is PRS's bolt-on offering.
Oh, yeah.
That's not like the Strat style thing. So it's got a maple neck. It has a 25-inch scale. So it's straight in the middle between Les Paul, between Gibson style and Fender style.
Right.
Shorter than Fender, longer than Gibson. And it has a 10-inch radius. So also in between Fender and Gibson.
Okay.
So it's really meeting in the middle. And also, this is my first 24-fret guitar, which is...
Oh, really? At all? Yeah.
Just at all. And my first guitar with locking tuners because I've never really had trouble with my tuners before and felt the need to get locks. But this has locking tuners on it, which is a whole new thing to learn. But yeah, it's a real banger. it kicks so much ass. It's just over 7 pounds. It is a 2022 model. Brian's Guitars in Connecticut had it. It's used, but you would never know. This is like factory foreign new.
Yeah.
So the price was the price. It was basically, I think this was like a limited run for a certain store. I don't know which store had this color, but kind of hard to find. So used, they're not like a great deal, but it came at a time of like you're basically going to pay what you do to get it new.
Right.
But it was a run from last year, so they're hard to find new, that whole thing. But you know, combine this cool guitar where I'm like, I've never seen anything that looks quite like this from them. PRS is really known for their like really heavy flames and stuff and really heavy figured woods. So this being a little more understated was really appealing to me.
It has a lot going on for being understated too. And I mean, sure, yeah. Compared to some other manufacturers, this would be flashy, but yeah, that's very nice.
It's got a push-in trim arm. Again, like the first guitar I've had that has that. Most of mine are, the two I have are threaded. Push-in is clearly the superior design choice, by the way, if anybody's curious.
How do you get it out?
You just pull it.
He makes it sound so easy, guys. It's like, why didn't they think of this sooner?
You just grip it and rip it, according to Aaron. And so what's also nice is it stays wherever you put it.
Huh. Fantastic.
Which I like. It's a dual humbucker. It's got 5708s, which is PRS's, 1957 PAF style humbucker. And let's see, it sounds like this.
But it sounds a little like this.
The trem is very good. And I got a lot of reverb going right now, but
that's vibrato.
Sorry.
You dummy.
Yep. And it's got a coil split. It's very simply designed guitar, just master tone, master volume. And on the tone is a push pull. It sounds like this. Terrible.
So it sounds like this immediately goes out of tune. No.
So it's got the coil split, which is just a global coil split. So you can't do like weird combinations and stuff. So it's either they're all split or they're not.
And yeah, but whatever. We talked about coil splits enough to know. Whatever.
Yeah, this one does have a little bit of a volume drop, but I will say the actual split tone is good. It is really good. And I don't know what they're doing in here, but they've figured out how to get the sound. Now if they can just do the level adjustment thing.
Right. They picked the right magnet, at least.
Yeah. So anyway, I am in love with it. The neck feels really good. It's called their pattern thin profile, but to me it just feels kind of like it's on the thinner side for sure, but it's pretty Fendery, I would say. It's nice. It's good. It's awesome. It's got the maple on the headstock, so it's a little bit different than other PRS stuff. It's a maple neck instead of mahogany. But yeah, mahogany and maple combo, just with no cap.
Cool. Having like a non-USA PRS and then going to this, like obviously there's some visual appointments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But what strikes you about the, I don't know what to call it. Like the playability difference, like, and the build. Yeah.
I think the fretwork. The fretwork and the tuners. Locking or otherwise, these are better tuners.
Yeah.
And the fret ends are better. And I think just, it seems like it's hard to describe. And I noticed this with the Novo too. Wherever there is a tolerance, it is as thin as possible. It is the smallest possible tolerance that they can get. And as you get into, what?
Eric.
Oh.
Weird question, mean, how? But how's the nut cut?
What do you mean, how is it cut? Do you mean what's the nut material?
How is it cut? I mean, I think that's height? What he's saying.
I mean, it's cut correctly. It's
like the slot heights and everything.
I don't know how to answer that for you. That would give you what you're looking for, I think. But,
So could you...
It's cut correctly. I mean...
Could you see this, like, if you take, like, the average guitar that isn't, like, a top model USA-made thing, and you really give it a workover by a good luthier, right? Like, are we there? You know, you put new tuners on it and really give it a once-over and really dial it in. Is that what we're paying for when we... get it from the American shop.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Okay. And also, a lot of times, like, you're paying for better electronics, like you're paying for CTS pots and Neutrik connectors.
Sure.
Better pickups, all the better wire, all that stuff.
Yeah.
As far as the nut is concerned, it does look correct, right? It's not cut really high in the material. It's not cut really low in the material. It is kind of right where it should be. The thing about PRS guitars... let me just put this on standby. I don't know if you guys know this, but the headstock shape is like very intentional with the way the strings traverse the nut. So on Fender guitars, the strings are completely straight from tuner to bridge, right? There's no break. There's no angle like on a Gibson headstock because it's 3 and 3 in the design overall. After it passes the nut, they fan out.
Right.
And so these do that a little bit, but not nearly as much. And there's also a very slight angle on the headstock, but not as severe as a Gibson. So he's kind of like one of the like mission statements of PRS stuff was to take the great parts of the big names and put them together, which is how you get things like a 25-inch scale and a 10-inch radius and like this headstock shape.
Just
and
literally this, draw a line through the center.
Just average it, yeah. So anyway, so the nut being cut is part of that. And especially like on guitars that have an angled headstock, the cut in the nut is also angled to match that. Or it should be anyway. So
because you're wanting to stop going the string, on here. Not crease it.
I mean, and you don't want it. But you don't want it to pinch it. It is not a, especially with a guitar with a vibrato on it.
Right,
a vibrato on it. It's not supposed to grab it. Right, it's not a locking thing. Yeah. Unless it is,
and that's about a whole different slot game, but, width. You know. So that again, like, make sure your strings are within bounds for what the guitar is set up for, and it's not a big deal.
Totally, but
you could slot them a little wider if you wanted heavier strings on it, but
definitely. So it came with all the case candy, including a obnoxiously large bumper sticker. It's like the size of my head.
Such depth.
It's huge. And it actually, so the tuners, are, like I said, they're locking, and it's just like a little set screw in the top. You just tighten it with a pick or a quarter. It came with an extra set screw, which I really appreciate. You know,
good tuners mean a lot. I think there's a lot of instruments out there that could feel very different with a good set of tuners. Having done, I changed them on my acoustic, and it went from being a cheap guitar that, you know, you can manage to play nicely to being a cheap guitar that is like rigidly in tune, able to take a beating, you know. And then my Telecaster got the same ones, and they happen to be those ratio tuners, which I really, really like. It's not for everybody, I guess, but regardless, it was just like, regardless if you get a weird ratio like me, or if you just get something regular, it's about the good, gearing, and really, it just feels so different.
I was just talking to Matt, who's in a Blockbuster Summer with me, about tuners, and he was mentioning he has the ratio tuners as well on one of his guitars. And he mentioned that the ratio part of it feels maybe like a little bit of a gimmick. Do you feel that way? Like, is it just
I think it's outstanding.
Higher, okay.
So
it's
so
not just that it's a higher quality tuner.
I mean, that's great too. I personally love it because, all right, since we haven't talked about this in a while. So the idea of the ratio tuners is, instead of, like, most tuner sets are either all the same ratio, or there's like 3 and 3 or something. And that's because it takes, you know, if everything's the same ratio, it takes a lot more turns on the high string compared to how many turns it would take on the low string to change the same number of notes. And that's just the physics. That's the physics of sound. It's what I'm teaching my students, right? Like, because octaves are a doubling of frequency.
Yeah.
It's like the lower notes are closer together, sort of, if you think about it that way. But anyway, so there are tuner sets out there where, like, maybe just the low one or two strings have a lower ratio, or actually I can't remember if it's a lower or higher ratio. But anyway, so the ratio tuners, would it be higher for the low string? Well, because you want a turn on the peg to be less of a turn on the string.
So higher ratio, because it'd be like 1 to 23.
Okay, instead of 1 to 18 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so the ratio tuners, all six of them are different. And the goal is that, considering like the average string tension and in standard tuning, it's supposed to be about one turn per semitone.
One complete 360.
I think I can't remember if it's like a half turn or a whole turn, but the point is, no matter what string, if I want to go from E to D, I'm turning it let's say it's halfway around. I'm turning it halfway around. Whereas on a standard set of standard ratio, sometimes you're really finicky with the low E string. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's too sharp. Mm-hmm. It's too flat. It's too sharp. It's too flat. And you're barely moving the peg. So having this ratio be different means that I have a lot more turn to go before I get to the right note. And then the opposite problem doesn't happen on the high E string. I'm not turning it three times over to get to D.
Right? Okay.
I'm turning it about half a turn or about a whole turn, whichever it is. I could literally grab it right here and do it for you, but this guitar is in a funny tuning and I don't want to fuck it
up. That's fine. Yeah.
And all six of them are different. Now, it's not exact because they're sort of guessing on the ratios a little bit, and it depends what string tension you're on, but it's close enough. So it feels really weird when you first start to use it, or if I hand my guitar to anybody, they'll be like, what is going on with this? You know, they'll
Because you're so used to cranking it a certain number of times.
Right. So on the low E, they will underturn it a bunch until they figure it out. And then on the high E, they'll fling the thing like crazy and it'll go wildly too far. So, you know, whatever, I warn them, like these are different ratios. So, I really like it. I mean, is it a gimmick? I mean, yeah. I mean, this isn't a problem that has stopped anybody from making good music in the past, right?
That's true. Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of a, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of a luxury thing. It's like a nice, like, I don't have to
luxury spin is a good my way
high
to put it.
E. Yeah. I don't have to spin my high E three times around to change the note, you know? Yeah. I think it's nice to have that extra room. It's like, it's like just having a good ratio on controls of any kind makes it easy rather than trying to make these tiny little adjustments on the low E string peg. Right. You know, I've always hated that. So, and you know, like I said, I've seen other sets where the low E string is a different ratio from the rest of them. And that you're trying to solve the same problem. That's probably the only string where it's a really big problem.
Or it's really noticeably different.
Noticeably. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So you have them on both on your acoustic there. This is a good segue to start talking about acoustics.
Okay.
Because
Oh, shoot.
The people want us to talk about acoustics.
All right, in that case, Bit Commander.
The least acoustic thing there is.
Well, for some reason, today I just didn't have the brain power, so I decided I was just going to take them in order as they are in my list, and that's what was next, so fuck it.
So, Eric in the chat earlier today was like, how about you talk about acoustics for once, for crying out loud. And I was like, okay, fine, what do you want us to talk about? And he was like, oh... What tuning are you in?
Open G.
Okay, but you're capoed what, 5?
Capoed at 4.
4? Okay.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah.
So I think it's... I actually, honestly, it's been so long since I've been working on this song. I can't remember if it's open G because of where I capoed it or if I'm just pretending, you know what I mean?
All right, well, let's see if... Well, I just plucked the G on my guitar and it sounds nothing like that. So, open B, says Eric.
Well, what the hell does he know? He doesn't know what the strings are tuned to.
Well, if you were in G and capoed to 4.
But I don't know. Did I just...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I think the song is in... Fuck it, I don't remember. I think
I have a better question. Yeah. Who cares? So with acoustics, though, the conversation turned into like everybody should have an acoustic, right? And I think everybody kind of agrees with that for the most part.
Yeah.
Acoustics are not a subject on this show very often, though. And like, why do you think that is?
Is it
because there's just like way less frontier there?
I think it's because we talk about guitars and guitar gear, and when you have an acoustic, you're done. It's over. And so that is both the benefit and the shortfall of the acoustic. That's why everybody should have an acoustic, because even the heavy metal guys need a guitar to play when they're just sitting there, right? Unless they're gonna just noodle not plugged in, you know, like some kind of plebe,
like friggin' death clock. Yeah.
Right. Just constantly.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe they do, but that's the thing. Like, you buy your acoustic guitar and that's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is gear for acoustics, like preamps and all the other accessory type gear.
No. That's just electric guitar gear. that's electric guitar gear for when you want the acoustic guitar sound, but you have to bring it into other environments. So that's not acoustic guitar gear. Even the preamps that are made for acoustic guitars are making them electric, and therefore they're electric guitar gear.
I love it. Eric says, I know they make acoustic pedals, and I'm not sure why.
There's this effect. There's one in the UAD system, but I don't think it's exclusive to UAD, but it's... I even forget what it's called, but it's meant to take a DI guitar sound and simulate an acoustic guitar with it.
Whoa.
Meaning, and I don't mean the piezo that's in your acoustic guitar. Yeah. I mean, you plug an electric in it and it's meant to sound like an acoustic, and it even has some like a bit of like stereo room kind of spatial stuff to it. Why? I don't know. Apparently somebody wants to do that sometime. Like, they don't have an acoustic guitar. They're a person who doesn't have it. Or you know what you need with to record an acoustic guitar that you don't need for an electric? You need a reasonable mic and a room that doesn't sound like shit. None of that's part of the equation at all for electric guitar. So you might have these people who want an acoustic guitar sound, but even if they have one, they can't record it well enough. And I don't know. I've tried that plugin. It's like not the worst thing you've heard. It honestly sounds better. It sounds more like an acoustic to me than most piezo, like
piezos are tricky. Yeah, I think they sound like you're playing your guitar made out of PVC pipe.
Right.
They just kind of don't have.
They sound like you have a floppy plastic pick, except your strings are also floppy plastic picks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think I have an acoustic. I think everybody should have one.
So it's like the Boss pedal? Wait, what?
Yeah, Eric, Boss makes an acoustic simulator pedal.
Do they? Oh, well, it's probably garbage compared to this plugin, but...
There's an acoustic sim.
Without having heard it.
There's an acoustic sim in Helix as well, which will let you dial into like different body shapes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even. I think it sounds okay. It's like kind of serviceable in the moment when there's like, and the acoustic bridge part comes in. Right.
Right. It's kind of for that. It's not going to fool you if you're really concentrating on it.
I don't love how it sounds. It does the job though. Right. And that's kind of,
it doesn't replace a mic on an acoustic guitar.
No.
Right. It's definitely like a stopgap.
It's for the acoustic part, right? Like, but I'm not about to like put my acoustic on a stand, like one of those playing stands, right? And play this one part of the song.
No Doubt was on Saturday Night Live, and they played
Don't Speak, and
the nylon guitar solo, and he had it on he did that. He like swung the guitar down and walked up and played the nylon guitar thing and then pulled his guitar, and he looked really cool doing it. What was that, the 90s, early 2000s? So maybe I was easily fooled.
Impressionable.
Yeah,
but like all that shit was cool.
My memory is that he looked cool.
I think it looked, fuck it. That does look cool.
Plus, it's like up here, like a nylon, it's like.
But also, you're in fucking No Doubt and you're on TV.
Yeah.
So like you could do whatever you want. And
this is early No Doubt too, when it was like.
You're still cool. You're already cool. Yeah. So anyway, what's the thing about acoustics? I guess we don't talk about it that much. There's just not the question anybody asked, but we don't talk about it too much because it just feels like there's little headway in it. And I think as far as we talk about like the cutting edge of guitar stuff, and we talk about what's exciting about guitar manufacturing and stuff these days, acoustic, the world is much smaller, and it feels... I was just going to say, and Eric mentions in the chat, it's more traditional. It feels like way hyper more traditional than a lot of, even like the most vintage snobbery that electric guitars can get into. Acoustic is just like, well, here's a Dreadnought, and it's better than last year's Dreadnought.
Well, right. And vintage snobbery, like, well, here's the Martin from the 1800s that no one will ever top ever. So just sit down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have an Alvarez acoustic.
There is innovation sometimes. I mean, we've talked about things. Things have come across the show over the years, and like some guitar that has a weird shape or it's got funny cutouts that must be a nightmare to build. Things like that, you know?
Oh, dude. So there's, I've wanted to get this guy Chris on the show a bit, and I haven't really pursued it because I'm lazy.
Hey, Chris, come on the show. If you can hear my voice, come on the show, Chris.
Chris at Driftwood Guitars. He's down in Florida. He does an awesome YouTube channel. I think he actually works for Stumac now. I'm not totally sure, but he has been doing YouTube for a long time, and he kind of just walks through builds as an acoustic guitar builder. And just knowing what we know about electric guitar and stuff, you can so clearly see it's such a dramatically different approach from the very beginning.
Yeah. So many things that aren't remotely a consideration at all are the main focus now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so much of what makes an acoustic guitar is just air, right?
It's just a resonator box. It makes me think of like the YouTube guy who's always building guitars out of weird shit, like the pure aluminum guitar. Oh, Burl's Art.
Yeah,
exactly. The guitar made out of pencils or newspapers or whatever the fuck it was.
Mm-hmm. Both of those things.
That's something you can do. That's not that's not part of the acoustic guitar world. Or if it is, I want to talk to that guy because.
Yeah. You know, he did an acoustic built entirely out of carbon fiber.
Well, sure, but like Ovation's been building shit out of carbon fiber for years.
Yeah.
It's like serviceable. It's like, okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine. Anyway. It's not a newspaper. Like building acoustic out of newspapers.
He built one. He posted a video recently that was, I think it was like a cast acrylic with like a copper river flowing through it. It was insane looking. It looked very, very cool.
How would you even do that?
Exactly. It's
the
great.
The copper is going to be way hotter than the acrylic. How would you? All right.
Or something like that. I forget what he did, but it was awesome. Anyway, so yeah, Driftwood Guitars on YouTube. Go check them out. We've talked about them on the show before because he's making these like works of art level acoustics that are worth or selling for kind of like in the five figure. They're real luxury.
Well,
pieces.
He should really be our first guest after we decide to take ourselves seriously. Then, right after after this whole giveaway thing really turns our whole mental space around.
And what's awesome? Base price is $15K according to Eric. So, yeah, it's bonkers.
$15K to get out of bed. Got it.
Yeah. They're gorgeous, and they're individually made one at a time by one guy. And so that's what it takes, you know. And he's sourcing this wood from the hills leading to the heavens. And so I'm watching this series now that's, I think, a couple of years in, or at least a year in or so, building a guitar out of 3,000-year-old petrified wood.
And petrified? That's stone.
Is it petrified? Maybe it's not petrified, but out of 3,000-year-old tree or something like that fell. And
this is one of those cutaways I can see now. Yeah. This is exactly what I was thinking about. The
arm bevel cover.
Right? That's something that's like, oh, it's an electric guitar. Well, sure, we're going to do an arm bevel. The acoustic guitar, it's like, what? Imagine the strapping on the inside and bracing that he has to do to create that shape.
And his content's great because he's talking about why he's doing the stuff he's doing and talks about, oh, we'll do this pattern of bracing. We'll do for this reason. And you're watching him kind of tap the wood and hear it and listen and trying to tune this guitar top and listen to the guitar before it's even the shape of a guitar. It's just the pieces of wood. And he's making these very minute micro adjustments in removing material to get it exactly where he wants it to be. And it's a real exercise in restraint, I think, in the acoustic space. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are very flashy, they're very
sparkly inlays and everything. Yeah.
Beautiful inlays, very ornate detail, figured woods. So look at that inlay. Wood inlay. Jesus. And the way it spans the fretboard to the top of the guitar and stuff, like so cool.
That's some next level shit. Well, there's a few Beatles.
That's them thar Beatles.
It is. We'll all be.
That's a 12 string.
12 strings and four Beatles.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. So, I don't know.
I've definitely put this website on the show before.
Yeah.
I definitely have. I can remember it now that I see all these pictures.
Yeah. Anyway, so as far as acoustics, I don't know. I don't know enough about like acoustic body shapes and styles to say like, well, this shape sounds different because of this reason,
yeah,
or this material sounds different like it does with electrics or whatever.
Maybe but, that's our problem. Maybe we need to, this is one of those things by,
well, send,
by learning about it to write the book.
Yeah.
You know, we,
well, here's the thing though. Like we struggle with this with electric guitar gear where there's already an endless flood of stuff. And so you turn, yeah, to acoustics where it's a far quieter space.
Mm-hmm.
And that problem doesn't just suddenly not exist, right? I'm not going to go put somebody else's take on the pre-war Martin in the show just because it's someone else's take. God, that's beautiful. Damn it. Look at that shit.
Who's this guy think he is?
He's also doing electrics now. He's doing a T-style, yeah, guitar, which it looks really sharp as well.
All right, let's find his electrics.
Whew, look at that finish.
God, it's PRS all over again.
Flamey flamies.
Flamies. They're not all flamies, though.
Look, that's true.
Some of the, look at this. Look at this classy motherfucker.
That, ooh, the green one? That is sharp.
Look at the green like one. Spitfire green. Yeah. Look at that pickguard. Whose choice was this?
That's the Fender Cabernita style pickguard.
Don't just answer, it doesn't mean my it's good, rhetorical questions. Like,
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just explaining.
Well, I like it, but I didn't.
That's a great, anyway. That's a great looking guitar. Oh, look at the headstock detail.
Uh-oh, yes. Hold on. Finding pictures. Oh, look at the back.
Oof.
Oh, now
beautiful.
I mean,
yeah,
this is a powerful bit of guitar, and then you flip the sucker over and she's blonde on the back. You know what I'm saying? Look at that. Look at those.
Yeah.
Grains.
I love it. Look at those grains. Oh, gosh.
Oh, God, I touched my eyes again.
Oh, you idiot. All right, let's get out of here so you can go scratch them out.
No, I'm fine. All right, what are we doing? What's happening now? Yes?
I think we're out of here, aren't we?
Are we? Hold on. Eric made another comment. Let me go investigate what that was about. Oh, never mind. This is something stupid.
We're just back to talking about electrics, that's all.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I making fun of Eric is great. We've all had a lot of fun here today, but he's definitely right. We did just like immediately start talking about electric guitars again. Like whisper of an electric guitar,
we're
like, oh, wow, look at this shit.
Look at this one. This one's electric.
What a pair of total assholes we are, huh? Holy shit.
Hey, guys, talk about acoustics. Only if we can segue back to electric immediately.
I was like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely click the electric link on his website.
Anyway, okay. Thing of the week?
Thing of the week. And somewhere I'll find my button. The next thing is this. I think that pedal was like a Boss multi-effects pedal.
No, isn't that, that's more that wacky delay that I have with the fuzz I got at the same time.
Oh, that's, I could not understand what I wrote down. I wrote down like a mangled mess of letters and numbers, and it's probably because of that.
The
3MA14 DML10.
That's what those two pedals are called.
I was like, that's not a pedal. So I just thought maybe it was some fucking Boss thing. I misunderstood. So anyways,
My thing of the week, I said earlier I went to a concert. We went to the new venue in Boston, the MGM Music Hall at Fenway. And actually, this is a link to, I think this is a render of like what it was going to look like. And I can tell you, it looks exactly like this.
Well, I was trying to sneak back and find your actual picture. I guess it was a while
ago. Oh, I can post that. That was inside. Yeah, I can post those as well. This place is fabulous. It is. What am I doing? Oh my God. Phone.
Wait, what am I looking at now? What is this here?
The picture this I just rendered? Posted in the chat. That's,
oops, that's not the right. It opened in the wrong browser window. Lovely. Hold on. Go into this browser window, please. Thank you. All right.
Yeah. So that's Lansdowne Street right yes. there. So are you familiar with this area? And you can see Fenway yep. right behind it. So this is kind of right. like on the same block and attached to Fenway Park. And it is wow. amazing. It is such a beautiful venue. It is so great. So House of Blues, you can see the sign. It's right fucking there.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. We walked out and we're like, oh, it's like across the street. But it's bigger than House of Blues. And it's, of course, it's much newer. So mm-hmm. I don't know if this mm-hmm. is just like, hey, awesome. The floor is not sticky yet. Or, right. you know, what is it about? That felt so good.
Of course, not sticky yet.
But it's just, it's really, that's the inside. That was Manchester Orchestra's stage setup.
You can tell because there's amps.
There's amps. That was my clue. really accessible, easy in, easy out, easy access to merch. Not a bad seat in the place. A
concert venue for the modern viewer.
Yeah. It is nice. And Eric's saying he thinks they're going to try to keep it nicer than a lot of places. I think I got that vibe too. It just feels like a little fancier. Like it's a cool night out.
Floors now and then.
Yeah. But you know, it's like John Oliver's there two nights this week and they do stuff like that.
So they'll take people with British accents can be there.
Yeah. Not just concerts with sideways bass amps. So yeah. My pick is this venue. So if you're looking around for something to do, if some band you follow is like, fuck it, let's go on tour, and they're playing this place, you should go because it kicks so much ass. It was really great.
Gorgeous.
Very nice place.
Very good. Very good.
I've been to the House of Blues like a zillion times, and it's nice because I've been a zillion times. Like it's nice to be back and be like, oh, yeah, this place, I saw so-and-so here, blah, blah, blah. This was way different, though. Like I was way more excited about this.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. What did I say at the top of the show that... Oh, Schlier and Imaging. Imaging.
You want to back up and take that again? Put that thing in reverse.
There's no guarantees it's going to be any better. Here we're going to link to the Wikipedia. Schlier and Imaging. This is where Derek picked out before.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of anything else. I love weird, interesting stuff. This is awesome. And really what you should probably do is find like a YouTube video that explains it so you can see it in...
I like when you're looking at a Wikipedia page for something and suddenly there's math on it in a space you may not have expected there to be math.
yeah, exactly. So you know what, actually I'll share there's a video, Skunk Bear. It's like this NPR production.
Okay. Recipe ideas.
So this is, and I'm not going to let this play, but I'm just, nope, stop. In this video, if it'll load, he talks about what Schlier and Imaging is, and then they visualize some things. I'm skipping through quickly because it's not okay. So this is describing how it actually works.
Oh, interesting. Stuff. Okay, I see.
And then he does some things like there's the aerodynamics of the Millennium Falcon.
Pretty shitty.
Shitty aerodynamics. Of course, it's a spaceship, so that's fine. And then we do some things, speakers, various sound waves, a gun.
Cool.
Yeah, that's an AK-47 round. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Very cool.
Something interesting to, I'm going to share the link to this video in the show notes as well, because I think this stuff is awesome.
It is.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like learning how strange things work. And if you do too, then you should check that out because it's pretty sweet.
I've been watching a lot of knife forging on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, like how Damascus steel is made and stuff like that.
Yep. Making steel into things.
Yep. It's fun.
Yep.
It's a good brain off kind of thing. Anyway,
I heard about this material science thing the other day, like this cutting edge material science where they are finding some way to like nano scale make steel where some parts of the steel are configured for hardness and other parts of the same piece of steel are configured with I can't remember if it's a bigger grain or a smaller grain to make it more pliable. So strength versus hardness, because those are essentially the two properties of steel that you're picking a spot on that spectrum for what is going to be the best steel for your application. So if you get this, if you make this thing where like the edges are hard, but the centers are pliable, then you've done like, it's like when we put rebar in concrete, right?
Right.
Concrete is very crush strong, but not very bendy strong. You add rebar to it. Now suddenly it's, so anyway,
right. That's
steel,
very cool.
Steel's been a thing for like, I don't know, thousands of years, and we're still tinkering and finding little ways to make it better. Nothing's better. There's nothing out there better than steel.
You heard it here first, people.
It's it. We're not going to find some other thing that's like, aha, now we've done it. No.
Steel. Carbon nanotubes. Anyway, let's get out of here.
But it's not the same. That's good for other stuff.
I know. Right. I know.
Yes. Derek, no, all right.
You can't beat the original.
Can't beat it. Ever since somebody started adding carbon to iron.
Ever since the dawn of steel, you couldn't beat steel.
That's such a fucking good title.
I got so many.
Okay. Well, everybody, it's time to thank the patrons and be on our way. What do I even do? All right. Hey, everybody, support. Thanks for listening/watching, and thanks for your support. And your support is equal to what I'm about to say.
Justin.
Yes, good job. You've done it. You've done a good one. Pick a good podcast.
I'm just going to let you sort of like tread water here for a second.
Love you guys. Here you go. All right. So the patrons this week are Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Jamie Evans, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, Bridgen Mid, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Mako Guitars, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Doug Christ of 37 Effects, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects. And that's it. Thank you guys so much. If you're not on that list and you want to be, there's a link right there in the show notes. And that's all you gotta do.
If you're not on
baby.
That list and you don't want to be, I have a lot of questions, but
okay. Yeah.
All right, guys. See you next time.
See you the next Tone Control week. Bye-bye.